speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
We began a series of lessons several weeks ago on Sunday nights in consideration of Satan. In the beginning of that, identified the fact that we talk about God every Sunday, and rightfully so, because God is our Creator, and we are to worship God, and we are to learn about God and live for God so that someday we will dwell with Him in eternity. And sometimes we neglect, not necessarily because we choose to do that, but we simply neglect to talk about Satan, our opponent. So we began a few weeks ago to speak with regard to the reality of Satan. Is that he's not a figment of our imagination. He's not some sort of a character that's been dreamed up by theologians to scare people into believing in God, but rather from what God identifies as well as what you and I experience in our lives, Satan is real and Satan is alive. He is as much alive today as he has been since the time of his creation. And friends, in this then, we understand is that we need to be aware is that he's never going away, that is, as long as we live here in this world. And God also then, and this was another lesson of ours, God also then identifies him very explicitly in the Scripture as the father of lies and a murderer from the beginning. Father of lies, certainly lying began with him. As you go back and read from Genesis chapter 3, where that Eve is tempted in the garden, as well as Adam, and they fell to that temptation, and the lies worked for him then, and he has continued that even into this very day, this very hour. And murderer from the beginning certainly led to the death of Adam and Eve, and many others in Old Testament Scripture time. And yet at the same time, while we see that physical murder, physical death has led as a result of his influence and impact upon many, that which you and I need to be aware of is that he is seeking to murder us spiritually, to draw us out of a relationship with God. And how does he do this? Well, last week we talked about the various ways in which Satan works to tempt us. And we looked at and considered some of the names that God gives us about Satan and how that these things are not only help us to understand things about Satan, but also the ways in which he comes after us. And I would surmise that at this point, probably we have some who are saying, wow, can Satan be defeated? He is deceitful. He is very powerful, he is very much alive, and his influences from an evil standpoint, temptations, are universal. And therefore, some people might be saying, can he be defeated? And if so, how can Satan be defeated? Before I answer that question, tonight I want to pose another question, and this will help us, I believe, to understand kind of the characteristics of people and the way in which they fall subject to following Satan. And then also then, it will help us to understand ways in which we're going to be able to defeat him. To begin with, why do people serve the devil? Because let's be honest, those who are not serving God, they're serving Satan, whether they realize it or not, whether they want to admit it or not. And I contend tonight, as I have studied for the lesson before us, And that is that a majority of the people in the world serve the devil out of ignorance. They do not know any better. There are a lot of people in the world who do not know God. Seldom do they ever stop to think about where they came from. Maybe it passes through their mind periodically, maybe from time to time, momentarily. But yet at the same time, I do not believe in speaking with a number of people in this world is that usually they do not think about God because their life consists about here and now. They're thinking about work, they're thinking about family, they're thinking about the future, and yet at the same time, because of the way in which they have been reared, or because of circumstances that they find themselves in their lives, seldom to never do they think about our God. And then also, seldom to never, and in fact I'm going to lean towards the side of never, these same people do not think about sin and salvation. They live their life for themselves, and that goes along with, in part, what we're talking about this morning about people who are self-serving, selfish. And we find that to be true and characteristic with the majority in the world. And they do not think anything about going out and drinking. They do not think anything about using vulgar language, curse words and things of that nature. And therefore, if we talk about sin to them, that seems foreign, as well as then the idea that they need to be saved. So therefore, I believe that a majority of the people in the world that we face, that we deal with each and every day, they serve Satan out of ignorance. And this is not only with what we find in the world. God identifies concerning His people. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, He says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And that's what ignorance is. And I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in line with this in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. He says, "Having their understanding darkened, being aliens from the life of God." In the context, he's speaking about the Gentiles. But know what he says. They're being aliens from life with God. Why? Because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart. Their heart is not set on serving God. And therefore, in ignorance, because they are unlearned about God, they end up serving Satan. For friends, also, I believe that it is clear that many serve Satan with eyes that are set on this world. You say, "Kevin, what do you mean exactly by that?" These people live for the moment. They are constantly thinking about where they are in life at any given time, and then where they want to be from a world standpoint in the future. Sometimes they don't even think about that. They just think about the moment. And in this, they fill their lives with things. They fill their lives with events. Facebook is good and bad, but at the same time, as I think about the good, I believe that it's good that we're able to stay connected with people here at East End and throughout the Brotherhood here in Warren County and throughout the world. On a bad side, we see all the craziness that takes place in people's lives. And there are people that I know from here, as well as people from back home, who jump from one event to the next event because that's what their life is all about. They fill their lives up with things, and not only with events, but with material things. And therefore, from a biblical standpoint, these people worship the creature over the Creator. You see, they have it opposite of what God wants us to do. God expects us to worship Him, our Creator, but yet at the same time they worship the creature. And sadly, in this case, the creature under consideration would be Satan. And friends, we are also given biblical definitions and pictures of others. So this is nothing new to our age or society. Take into consideration a man, Demas, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 says that he departed from the Apostle Paul. Paul was always engaged in working for our God and reaching out to help congregations and to bring lost souls unto Christ. And yet it said concerning Demas that he separated himself from the Apostle Paul, having loved this present age more than the age to come, more than eternal life of which God extends. He had his mind wrapped around now. And friends, I contend that whenever, from what I read in that context, whenever he departed from Paul, if I'm reading that properly, he not only left Paul, he also left God. And in leaving God, who does he serve? He ends up serving Satan because of his eyes for the world. But friends, also, I believe that it's obvious that some serve Satan because of disbelief. We have in our present age people who very boldly say, "I don't believe in God." And how do we identify them? There's a term that we use, and it's defined for us from our modern vernacular or language, and that is an atheist. An atheist is one who does not, just out and outright, will tell you, "I don't believe in God." They do not believe that God exists. They do not believe that the Bible is His Word. They do not believe, simply because they don't believe in God, they don't believe in the creation. And therefore, they have developed through time through centuries, schools of evolution, man-made theories to explain, according to their schools of thought, to explain how the world began and how man, as they see it, evolved to the point to where we are unto this very day. And friends, in that, it's not only with the atheists, there are those that we also identify with the term agnostic. The word Gnostic or Gnostic, Gnostic from the Greek language is gnosko. I couldn't get it in my mind there. Gnosko literally means to know. An agnostic is one who says, I don't know. And these people say, there's not enough evidence to prove one way or the other whether there is a God. They're skeptical about God. And because of this, they refuse. They fail to embrace God. And friends, they're no better off than those of atheism because of where they end up. And in these matters, I'm reminded in regard to where we are from what the Scripture teaches is regarding the atheists and even many who hold to agnosticism. We find is that a lot of times they're very intelligent people. I remember years ago whenever I heard about atheism and met my first atheist. I thought to myself, those people, they're just, forgive me here, they're stupid. They don't know any better. They're doing it out of ignorance because they've never learned. And in that, I found they're not stupid at all. In fact, a majority of them are very intelligent people. They've studied at our universities, and maybe in part that's a problem because most of the universities are filled with atheists who want to push that agenda on our children whenever they go. But in that, they've studied. They have one degree after the other degree, and I'm reminded in part is that they resemble what the Apostle Paul identified to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. Always learning, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. You see, their focus is on secular, upon world knowledge, versus looking to spiritual knowledge, the things that are most important in order for us to develop a relationship with God. And because of this, because of their dismissal of the existence of God and their refusal to serve Him, to bow themselves down to Jehovah, they end up serving Satan. But friends, also, I believe that it is certain that a lot of people serve Satan because they choose to take the easy road. I used to say that being a Christian is one of the easiest things, if not the easiest thing that you can do. Let me correct myself. It's difficult to be a Christian. Because we are different from the world oftentimes will persecute us in a number of ways. They will mock us with their words. They will sometimes, in other areas, I've not necessarily seen this here in Warren County, maybe that's because there are so many churches of Christ here and so many others who are of other religions who do believe. But in other parts of the world, especially if you claim to be a Christian, you're going to face very severe persecution. It may even cost you your life. It can be very hard to be a Christian. And people will say, I don't want to be a Christian because of all that God requires of us to begin with. That, they say, is difficult. And yet at the same time, I want to point out is that God very explicitly says, is that my commandments are not burdensome. Are they challenging? Absolutely. But at the same time, they're very doable. And people look at what they believe or perceive to be difficult as to God's law and difficult that Christians face, and therefore they say, you know, it's much easier for me to go this way or that way. And oftentimes, with those who choose the easy road, I've heard people say that, you know, if indeed God is real, if God is in existence, and if the Bible is His Word, then if He is a loving God, surely He will forgive me for taking this road. And friends, the bottom line is that God tells us is that we must choose Him and that we, in doing so, need to understand is that it's not always going to be easy. God is loving, and God is forgiving. And in His love for us, He has extended salvation in and through Jesus Christ, and those who believe in Him and love Him must obey Him. And as a result of their obedience to Christ in baptism, they must live, diligently strive each and every day to walk as New Testament Christians are commanded to walk. Those who choose the easy road, friends, they also end up serving Satan. And sadly, on a very sad note, at least the way that I view this, is that sometimes we have brethren who serve Satan unwittingly, unknowingly. Sometimes we have people who are Sunday morning Christians, and they'll go out though outside of Sunday mornings, and they'll do whatever they want to do. And friends, as a result of that, they are not serving God. They're serving Satan. They don't put a priority on being at all of the worship services that they're able to attend. And as a result of that, friends, I say that they at least have a heart problem. And a heart problem that they will stand before God on in the day of judgment. And I would not want to be in their case or situation. And for that reason, I urge all of us always to take God serious and to put Him first. But friends, also there's a possibility, there's a likelihood, and in fact I'm going to say a reality, is that sometimes we may be amongst those who are in attendance all the time. And for all sense of the purpose, we might even be trying to live our lives as best we can by the will of God, and yet at the same time, we've allowed little things, little habits from the past to continue on, to where maybe we'll gossip about people, maybe we will be a backbiter where we talk about people behind their backs, or we put people down all the time, we speak of them in a very negative way. And friends, the Bible identifies is that we are to be at about edification, about building one another up on an ongoing basis, every single day, to be looking to our brothers and sisters in Christ and seeking to encourage each other as we are hoping then also then to help each other to be able to make it to heaven. Those brethren who do those things, even unknowing, the Bible ends up as that, or that defines, is that they end up serving Satan. So we've identified some ways or reasons why people serve Satan. Now I want to identify ways that we will be able to defeat him. The Bible makes it very clear that the only way in which we will be able to properly put temptations that constantly we're falling to aside, the way that we're going to be able to faithfully stand before God each and every day, as His faithful children, as Christians, we must put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God entails knowing what the Bible teaches. Therefore, God wants us to realize the significance of studying the Scripture every single day of our life. I study the Bible every single day, and I'm going to say that probably, as I thought about this in preparation for the lesson tonight, since the age of 25, and I'm 51 years of age now, and friends, every day that I read and study, I find something. I approach the context, and as I read from a contextual standpoint, I find things, little gems and jewels, oftentimes, that I've never picked up on before. And I oftentimes find things that are amiss in my life and that I don't want to stand accountable before God on. And therefore, I'm always in reading and studying, trying to make application to my life as well. And I want to encourage each and every one of you to do likewise. Read and study the Bible. Be diligent students of the Word of God. And in reality, that's only how we're going to be able to grow in our faith, to grow in our love for God, and to become a mature Christian who is rooted and grounded in the truth. But friends, also, if we want to be able to defeat Satan, we must surround ourselves with people. We must have people in our lives who are Christians. And in that I realize is that in order for us to reach the world, we've got to have contact with the world. In fact, it will do us well to even have friendships within the world, but at the same time, not to think that we have a right hand of fellowship, because they're not in fellowship with God, but it's more so as what I would see in Scripture as a left hand of fellowship, to where that we're friendly with them, to wherein that we are concerned about them, to where that we have an interest about them and their families and their lives and things of that nature. But to have people who are in the world living like the world, living in an ungodly way, the people who serve Satan themselves, to have them as our best friends. Friends, we're going in the wrong direction. Whenever we do that, and God wants us to understand, as the Scripture very explicitly teaches, is that evil company or companionship corrupts good morals. Well, what does he mean by that? I believe he means is that you could be the most moral person in life, and still at the same time, if you surround yourself with people who are immoral, they're going to corrupt you. And somebody says, well, Kevin, that's not the goal. That's not the intention. I want to win them over. And by all means, we ought to be pursuing to win them over, but at the same time, to have our lives surrounded by people like that, friends, we're setting our own precedence if we want to be able to go to heaven. And therefore, God encourages us to surround ourselves, Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, with those of like precious faith, those who are members of the church, those who are in pursuit of heaven themselves, and therefore they not only want to make it to heaven for themselves, but friends, also they want us to be able to get there as well. In order for us to defeat Satan and be able to go to dwell with God eternally, in this we need to truly conduct a daily examination of ourselves. And somebody says, well, Kevin, I think about that from time to time. I do. I stop from, you know, once or twice a week maybe. Or, you know, if I don't get to it once or twice a week, at least two or three times throughout the course of a month, I will stop and think about my life. And friends, I contend, I truly believe that every single day we need to contemplate where we are with God. And I'm not trying to say is that God's, you know, we're walking on a tightrope or something like that with Him. I'm not wanting to project that at all. Because it is a way, it is a roadway that we're on. And God wants us to be able to be successful. But at the same time, if we're not checking ourselves daily, it's so easy to go to the right, and it's so tempting, is it not, to go to the left. And before we know it, if we're not doing a daily examination of our lives and then readjusting our lives to come into compliance to the will of God, we'll find ourselves off the road that God has for us. And therefore, God tells us very directly, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, to examine ourselves daily to find out, to make sure that we are in the faith. But friends, also, in order for us to defeat Satan and maintain our relationship with God and to have that hope of heaven, we must stay busy in worship and in the works of the church. And tonight, in this, as I put it together, I thought to myself, well, on worship especially, you're speaking to the choir, because they're always there, the night crowd anyway, for the most part. And in that, though, with that, from time to time, we need even those who are faithful in their attendance, we need to be reminded of this so that we do not fall subject to where some are, and that is that they're not as committed to being here. In this, God says, worship Him in spirit and in truth, and worship Him when? Upon the first day of the week, and as an eldership, we put together these times of worship for us. And if we have opportunity as well as good health and the ability in any sense to be here, then we are obligated, I believe, in the sight of God to do so. And we ought to aspire to do that as well. But friends, then also, is that stay busy in the works of the church. There are so many works that need to be done, and constantly as an eldership and in our classes from time to time, we even make mention of some of the things that we have going on as a congregation. And with that, we're never going to be able to accomplish, we're never going to be able to get everything done. We live in a world where we work to that end, do we not? Maybe in the secular world you have jobs or tasks that has a deadline to it, and you work and you get that task done, and then what do? There's always something else. If not, then you're unemployed. Well, friends, God's not in the unemployment business. He always has things for us to do. There's always work in the kingdom. There's never a low moment. But at the same time, Satan wants us to believe that there is. And he wants to work to get us to not work for God. And yet at the same time, if we want to defeat him, we need to stay busy in worship and in the works of the church. But friends, also I believe this is one of the most important, and this will help us with these other areas, and that is we will defeat Satan by doing everything possible to draw closer to our God, to know God to the level that God expects us to know Him. And I'm talking about more than from an intellectual standpoint. Reading and studying the Bible, it defines God for us. God tells us about Himself constantly through the Old Testament, and even more so, I believe, in the New Testament Scripture, and it's important that we gather all that knowledge and take it in. But here's what I'm getting at. Knowing God personally in your life. And you say, Kevin, are you saying that we need to have a personal relationship with God? Isn't that what the denominational world says? That's what they say. Yes, and we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. If we don't develop a personal relationship with God, more than an intellectual knowledge of Him, friends, we're not truly serving God to the level that God expects and to the level that we can enjoy. And therefore, we need to constantly, each and every day, be praying about these matters. And every single day, be working on these matters and examining ourselves to make sure that we're not serving Satan, but rather that we're serving God. Satan can be defeated, and God says that if we draw near to Him, and that if we resist the devil, and friends, that God will draw near unto us. And this morning, remember what I said as we were looking at Haggai? Whenever the people said, with their voice, we obey God, and they feared the presence of the Lord, remember what God said? I will be with you. And that message still rings true today. God promises always is that we're not here to go it alone. He is always with us if we will but stay with Him. So tonight I ask you, are you with Him? To begin with, are you a Christian? Have you made that verbal confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Have you submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? Don't leave here tonight, we beg and plead, without becoming a Christian, if indeed you truly believe, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And we would love tonight to take the confession and to assist you in putting Christ on in baptism. It may be that we have brothers and sisters in Christ here who have been struggling with sin and you've walked away from God. And we want you to know tonight that we love you as God loves you. And tonight, if you respond, we will pray with you and we will encourage you to become stronger in your faith and in your walk with God. It may be that you're struggling tonight and you're saying, you know, I don't know that I really know God the way that I should. And maybe it's that you don't necessarily need to respond to the invitation. In that, what I mean is that maybe you are trying to live, but at the same time, you've not yet grown to that point to where you say, my life is all about God. I want to encourage you to pray about that yourself. And if you want to respond, then we'll pray for you to that end. And then we'll help you also in your growth to get to that point in your life. So So tonight, if you're subject to the Lord's call, His invitation in any way, please come.